Friends, I'm turning this morning to Ezekiel chapter 33. Our emphasis is on verse 11. Say unto them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil way. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? Our title is The Pleasure of God. The pleasure of God, or what delights God, what makes God happy. He said, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Friends, one of the biggest criticisms of the Christian faith, especially the Reformed faith, is that we always lay emphasis on sin and the need for genuine repentance. People have always accused us that we always preach a gospel that makes people sad. And really, if you look at it, they may be right up to a point, but they are not entirely right, because we preach the gospel as it is. We tell you what the gospel is. Your state, as Pastor was telling us last Wednesday, your state before God, and then the remedy. You must know your sickness before the remedy. So the gospel, as I said in my prayer, is the most important message on earth that must go out. That is the God's message for us, which must go out. So people are saying that our message makes people sad and worthless and all those things. But as I said, it is half truth. When we make you sad, then we give you the remedy that will make you happy. If we look at the verses there, let's turn there again, Ezekiel chapter 33 and to 8 and 9. The verse 8 says, when I say unto the wicked, O wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not seek to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity. By his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. So we see this warning from God. If you don't preach the gospel for people to repent, even though they will die in their iniquity, you will be blamed for. I will ask for their blood from you, because I've told you, I've given to you what the people need to hear. So if you don't tell them and they die, you are the one that I will blame. And I pray, baby, as someone here can say, when I'm going to be a man, me, Odifor, Ezekiel, so we can say Israel for no. Or sister, me, I'm a Mithiasi. And you may need to say, or the boy, me, the woo. Never mono, say the obese fan, a free, the bonny of him. Na, obey a media. And you may need to say, or the boy, for the woo. Never mono, say the obese fan is to buy. Now, we're bumming up more, and they're using a coupon energy. And I make us say, Sisiya, and if I be brave, sorry, be brave, I'm here, yes, sorry, no. Teach you reform for any other evangelical for no. Timbia, ye pitia, now ye can't woo any bonnet, any judgment, I say. Now, ye can't someone have made the power any age. Now, ye can't someone have any power. And I make us say, you almost can a penny air in the crate. Say, ye can't someone have made the power any age. Mo would see what they are now on Kenya. A sound of chair, a coin, I would never pass with freeze. I will go no about energy. If you can't say why I will go, and in some way energy, and some of us want to hear. Come in your pocket, say, catch a man, a chili fat. And yet, without the fat, So you are this, you are this, you are this. Not sure, no. We have to call about something. Bible not just say maybe so. Say it in Panamoja if you go. It's not just a idea, a year obligation, a idea, a study. Say you better count on your coupon as seminal as any part. The kind of a different idea, not idea. And who say, yeah, yeah. Last week, now me carry the whole. Now I have a fabulous. I'm because my team have a fabulous. I'm meaning for focus. I'm need that for no. I can't gospel. It is. That's why I'm not excited about the gospel. Now people will see and many more high. You know what I say? It is a sin of 70 years. Then many people are going to hell. Young man for catching me. And then he went off and said, "The 70 years will be another day." And then he blaming a suffer. Because almost can't accept me. Said they will catch me. What the young man, what I'm saying is that I picked a boat and I was preaching to the driver. And after the preaching, he looked at my face and said, if this is what the Bible says about life, then many people are going to hell. And then we also have to blame the churches. He has a point. According to what we are saying now, we know many people are not preaching the true gospel. But then I asked him, so what are you going to do with what I've told you now? If you are blaming the churches, what I've told you right this morning, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to hold on to it and turn for repentance and salvation? Or you just sit down there and then in future think that you can blame God? And that's what it is. It is true many people don't hear the true word. And it's also true that some also hear the word, but they despise it. They don't take any they don't apply any importance to it. Friends, let's turn to Romans chapter 1 verse 16. See what Apostle Paul says about the gospel. Let's begin from verse 15. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that I at Rome also. Then he went on to 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why is he not ashamed? He goes down to explain why he's not ashamed of the gospel. First he says, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Then again he says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Then verse 18, he says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. You see, this is a serious thing. Apostle Paul is showing us the power in the gospel. Why he is not ashamed to preach the gospel. Why he wants to preach the gospel every day. And he's saying that is where the power is. That is where salvation comes from. And then he warned that people have been given this knowledge and they have used it for their own selfish end. So we need to preach the gospel as it is for people to repent and turn to God. That is the purpose of the church. The church is not there for people to distress, or it can be a place to distress anyway, but it is not the way people think. Last week I was at the shop here and I met one of the Sunday school children's mother, and she was telling me that she wanted to come to our church last week, but you see the way we don't play drums and dance, that's why she didn't come. So I was asking her, why should that stop you from coming? If you want to come and listen to the word of God, why should the drums and the dancing stop you? He said, yes. So the one who come to church will come to distress ourselves. But if you just come and hear the word of God and sing hymns and go. And I said to him, maybe you have not taken time to look at the hymn that we sing here. It is far, 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 far better for distress than the kind of music you people sing and then dance and go away. And she was looking at my face. Not the problem we are facing now. People think when they come to church, they come to entertain themselves. No, you come to hear the gospel, repent, and be saved. Once you are saved, all your problems are solved. Christ himself is dwelling in you. The Holy Spirit is dwelling in you. God himself is dwelling in you when you are saved. So this condemnation of sin and call to repentance, it only primes us for the true message of the gospel. We let you know your state and then give you the true message of the gospel. That is, God in Christ has dealt with our sin once and for all and has given us the full forgiveness of our sin and then to be reconciled unto him. You see, God is the one that we have offended, and yet he has come down to deliver us from the consequence of our sin. He sent his own son to come and die so that our sins will be forgiven. He has done this for us. So when we talk about condemnation of sin and repentance, it is to call your attention to what God has done for you, who you were, and what God has done for you, for you to take advantage of it and turn and to be saved. So if you are always thinking of the harsh words of conviction and condemnation that God speaks in his law, then you make a mistake. It is just a wake-up call so that you might become aware of your situation and the need for his grace and forgiveness. All the warnings, that is why I always talk about the prophets in those days and the so-called prophets in our days. What were they warning about? It was all about sin, and how God wants to deliver them from their sin. That was all what the prophets were preaching to the people. And Elizabeth was one of them. So God gives all those things to the prophets and his people so that we see our situation and turn to him for salvation. And this reveals God's true motive in having the people preach about the law, as Ezekiel was doing in this account. God, the law, as we know, is there to let us know our situation. We can't obey it. God knows. But it is for you to know that because you can't obey it, you need Christ. That's exactly the message of the law. And that's what God wants us to know. So if you are thinking that the law is so harsh, it is harsh so that you turn to God. You turn to the one who has the power over such harsh things in the world. But how has God done this? And that is the subject of our topic today. He said, I have no pleasure in the death, the damnation, the judgment of the wicked. God is telling me that he has no pleasure in all those things. But the pleasure is that we turn from those ways and come to him. What a merciful Father. What he has done for us. We are the offenders. And yet he takes the initial step to come unto us and plead that we will turn to him. God looks at the whole earth and he sees the misery and the sorrow of men, even though it is self-imposed. We have done that on our own because of our sin. As the pastor was saying the other day, we have our inherited sin and our own sin. We love our sin. But God looks at that and sees the misery, the future of our state, where we are going to end. And then, seeing that, he opens the way to us. He looks at the people who are in hell and all what they are going through, and then seeing the people crying and all what we are going through in this world, he says, as I live, then swearing by himself that I have no pleasure, I do not rejoice in the damnation of these who clad themselves into the miseries of human life. He has no pleasure, and then ultimately into the damnation of the deepest hell. See, God is a God of mercy. He thinks of his people and is always ready to forgive us. In Psalm 103, he talks about the merciful and the mercy and the long suffering of God. He said he's a merciful and long suffering and pitiful as a father who pities his children. That is how God is described. So what has happened to us? And we are in this situation. We have sinned against light, and still God does not cut us out. We are the ones who have sinned against light, and yet our Maker, the one that we have sinned against, the light, has no pleasure in we dying, but he wants us to come back. Sometimes we tend to use this word, discipline and punishment, interchangeably. But then, they are not the same. It is far, far, far from it. Punishment has to do with righting the wrong. And it has no concern whatsoever for the offender. How we talk about punishment. The American said, so the Enipa Bebre, Evian said, yeah, no, yeah, church, yeah, no, yeah, church, yeah, no, yeah, bo, Enipa Bebre. Now, yeah, cast and pencil. And now, much as you go, Babu, baby, be a one more, Paul, Maka, the entire, he said, yeah, cast and punish a chenipa. Any warning on your body, I must say, and cut out the man's anchenipa. As a Nipa, who are the bonny, or bet you on Moja, if you hope. It's name, you say, yeah, cast and send panel. Na se mpana so be ka wo dia se mori no ebedi kan sna wo dia se mpana ba se nipa e hu ne tibia wo mu a wo ka se mpana bi a che na wo nti de se ye ka ene kwe no che nti yakopo e de ne mra na ba en che se wo dia ko che bibi mo ye timi ene ye ho ko se ye hu se ye ye mu no ye nitu bi a ye fu dia ye wo free sa tibia ni age se ye bi ene ko Jesus wo nko wo ne tin be di emra no so na wo dia papa ye no amaye. And now, the Romans, as some of our folks can say, one day, as a panic and in the new, now a chain wouldn't tear any in the new, say, and running a football 2 minutes a walk, a phone and a football, a new body chain, a quiet paper swinger and party, and see, or a day, or because what can, as a panel. And I make you say, say, no, yeah, no, a dead bear pana, ah, yeah, yeah, it would be a thing, yeah, and say, yeah, we are bonimo, any decan. Yeah, any answer, yeah, bonny, a tear. Onyankopon ka se nti no o kae free na akwem ba afoka bi so a obi ti di bonina chee no asan di yin aba ni hobi e na meka se ye obofu ase bi ase ka se discipline any punishment ya eh ya na ye punishment ni na ye ade ba ko na enti sa e na meka se punishment no aye se obi aye ade boni bi na wo twena so amana ba free sa boni ni. And when you talk about discipline, this discipline on the other hand is something different. It's like the root word is disciple. A disciple, and a disciple is a learner, someone who learns. So what it means is that to discipline somebody is to let the person learn so that he doesn't commit the most serious thing. It's only in Ghana here that policemen, when they are checking speed limit, they hide because their main aim is to get you and take my money from you. In England, when you see the patrol people, the police patrol who are on the road, when they see you, they give you a warning. They give you something, a warning. And the purpose is to let you drive slowly so that lives are not in danger. That's what it is. It is not for them to take fines from you, even though it helps in the nation building. That is not the main aim. The main aim is to avoid accidents. So when they see you driving speed, they call you and they'll give you a ticket so that you don't go on doing that again and again. So what God has done, when God wants us to be disciplined, it means he's teaching us what we have done to ourselves and the way to come out of what we have done to ourselves so that we will know him and be reconciled with him. So as we look at this harsh word from Ezekiel to the people of Israel, let's pay particular attention to what God does and does not take pleasure. This is our lesson. What the Lord does not take pleasure in is the destruction of sinners. God does not like to destruct any sinner. And how do we know this? We know this from the words of the text that we have just read, which God spoke through the prophet. He said, as I live, says the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. The American said, when you come on after more, what can you say? And if I say, you know, and you know, I am dead. They must say, the public, and the end. The better they will say, Sunday after the tear, and now you can't. So I see Brad, the tear, and you may need it, say, or the boy, Libya, Ebu, Ewo. Now, here he's not speaking about the temporal death, because as for temporal death, is a lot of everybody. Everybody will die because of sin that we heard from Adam. We will all die. But he's talking about the ultimate sin. The ultimate sin which we have all inherited from our first parents. In Romans 5, verse 12, he said, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and thereby sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. So, you see, temporal death is a bad thing anyway, because it's contrary to the God's gift of life. However, God has transformed it. He has transformed it so that it has now become the way into glory. Meka ewiase ewuwa ewo no ene de ewo ho mu obi a wo wiase dia no obi wu ebi se babu me eti ase se instance e free Adam nti no Adam ko ye bo ni no owu ba eti owu de afeti ye nyina na se Nyakopon edo a owo ma ye nti no owu no kwa no osesa no ama to say dia why you say e kwa ya ye pass the ban for you see. That is why in Psalm 116, where we are reading the verse 15, says, precious is the sight of the Lord. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his sinner, of his saints. Also, when you have a young power said, the power of your free body will not be a baby. So, I idea is so, who's our name? I mean, you know, who are here now? Who can know? To say, oh, no, I bear a fire, the first day, when you have. If you think about it, you're supposed to be called condemnation. I feel it. So we're going to pass through this. And we are now called on your coupon. And therefore, we are not anywhere. We are just a means of traveling to God, because you can't go to God with this body. This body must give way, and then you can go to God. And because it's our we are not a daho emayendo. Anya adibapa. It is a no a see on your coupon. Ne. The ball share and say, oh, but my inquiry, and go for your own, and you will. There's a body that you will buy. A buyer, so no, or not so far, so I'm a woman, acquire a way of coming to him, a fire, possibly called on your coupon. So, God says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his sins. And compared to what he has said in Ezekiel, you see, so the death of the wicked, it is only the death of the wicked that the Lord has no pleasure. He has pleasure in the death of the righteous, the one who will repent from his sins and turn unto him. But the one who has not repented, he does not have pleasure in death. So he's talking about the everlasting death, the one that will result when we will be permanently rejected from God's glory and from his grace. And you know, can go, can that change? Said the so what for my man who are baby I'll be called. So when you want to the crack. Now because of Sam Egypt. And also another doctrine here, the doctrines of hell. Ah, and also you can't even go attack here. And so the Bible no eka. Hell is real. Heaven is real. It is there. So why don't you talk about it? I think I've told you before that I had an encounter with a pastor in Kumasi who said he never mentions heaven or hell in his church. And he's not interested. He's dealing with issues in this world. And I told him, you can never make this world better. This world is given to you to prepare for where you spend eternity. It's a borrowed time that God has given us. The purpose is for us to prepare for heaven. So what are you doing? What are you telling your members? To do what? To be rich? To be famous? To be wealthy? No. The time for them is to prepare so that when the time comes, they will go to heaven. So we are not in this world for only frivolity. No, just to work and make money. No, it is not true. We are here to prepare for eternity. So, the doctrines of hell is that one thing that people don't want to talk about it at all. Even in some other cults, especially the Jehovah Witnesses, they say that what kind of a loving God, if God is a God of love, how can he consign people into a place of damnation? A place where there's no hope forever and ever. How can God do that? A God who has love. The answer is simple. The love of God is such that even for his own creatures, he loves them so much and respects their free will. God respects our free will. So if some of the people say that they don't want to have anything to do with him, he respects that. And he loves them enough. And he will lead them to go where they want to go. So it is not God who is driving them there. God has made a way for them to know, and he has made a way for them to hear the word. If they hear and they still decide that they want to go their way, God will lead them to go. He is not banned them from his mercy and grace. No. He is given to all of us. But then we all know that not everybody will go to heaven. Why is it like that? Why are some people not believing? Can you blame God for that? No. It is them who have decided to go their own way, and God will lead them to go. They have not only gotten what they deserve, but they have gotten what they want. That what they want is what they have gotten. They want to go their own way. So when the Lord says that he has no pleasure in the wicked from his way, it is true. He wants to save them. He has done all that he can. He has sent his own son to come and die. He has sent prophets. He has sent messengers. He has sent apostles and preachers from time immemorial up to today. What he's going to send. His mercy, his patience, you can't even understand it. He's still waiting for people to repent. So if people will not repent, he will lead them to their own way. So this is what I explained about the punishment and discipline. You see, he will discipline you for you to come. Because there will be a time when even you can't even take the discipline. And it will be too late. You can be judged while you are on this earth if you keep on holding on. Let me just quote what one Puritan said about this same text. He said, "The way of repentance is the way of life. Repentance for sin and turning to Christ, confident in his mercy and grace, is a death and resurrection of souls." You know, during Easter, we remember the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And our death also, the same way, when we are also baptized in him, that is why in our baptism we emphasize on immersion. We die with him and then arise with him. Romans chapter 6 verse 3 says, "Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death?" Paul adds that. Then it goes on verse 4, it says, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." So when you become a believer and you are baptized into the death of Christ, and then you rise with him also. So that gives you the confidence that one day you will rise and go to where he is. So when we are baptized, we are dead to our own self, and then we rise to a new life that is being conformed to the image of Christ. We were born in sin with the image because of Adam. We had that image, and then when we are born in Christ, we are being transformed into the image of Christ. And this is what the Lord takes pleasure in. It is not only in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, Christ said the same thing. In Luke chapter 15, Christ said in verse 7, he said, "I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." This is the words of Christ himself. And then from verse 10, he says that, "And there is joy in the presence of the angels, in the angels of God, over one sinner that repented." So you see, what Ezekiel was saying has been confirmed by Christ here. The delight of God is for people to repent and turn to him for salvation. Because he's a God of mercy. He's a God of grace. He has patience for us, and he's still waiting. Another quote, he said, "Our God is a God of mercy and grace and life, not one of anger and revenge and death. God created us for righteousness and life, not for sin and death. Death is a part of life for us only because we have made it a part of life by our sin. But in love, God has dealt with our problems of sin and death, problems of our own making, by becoming a human in Christ to perfectly fulfill the law and justice with his righteous." See, I've explained this already. God has done all that we need to turn unto him. So he's not a God of anger and revenge and death. No, he's a God of life. And he has made a way that we will one day come out of our situation and then come to him. So Christ died so that we will die to our sin and then he lives, I will also be also believing in him. And this is the pleasure of the Lord. The redemption of sinners and how we be reconciled between ourselves and him. So the joy of God is like me and you, sinners that we are, who will repent and become righteous children of God. And that is what he has done, by shedding the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, that we will all be forgiven of our sins. And then on the second part of that verse, he asks another question. A question that I call it an unanswerable question. A question that will be difficult for anybody to answer. When you go can when you read it, the first one, or say this question, verse 11, our second part. Or say, why would he die? I didn't think I would be who. I didn't think I would be who. I bet my way now, so I'm not going to be pirating now over trust your chain, say, over chain. Why will you die? So, why will a man choose to cast himself away from God into a place that Christ described in Mark chapter 9 as a place of torment? Why? You see what I'm saying? That it's difficult to answer. A dead person, the Nipah. Names are somewhere ebony, who would have a mind, who would cheer at him more, because the Bible has said it. But it's appointed unto man to die once at a death, their judgment. The appointment is definite, it's certain, it will happen. And yet, people are taking the word of God as light. They are not taking it serious. And that's why he's asking them, why will you die? Why will a man choose to go to such a place instead of going to a place prepared for him? Why? The question is a question that we must all answer. Why should a man choose to cross a sea? Another quote from another person. I say, why will a man do that? Why will a man choose in his soul and in his life to climb a mountain that has no top? Why will he cast himself into a dark pit that has no bottom? Why will a man choose to cross a sea that has no shore? What profit will it be to a man to desire shipwreck, to sit down at a table with poison food? What profit is it to a man to cast himself into the flame of fire? God asks, why will he die? Why? It's a question that is difficult to answer. Why? People hear the gospel every day. Even those who believe in it, they know it's true. Just making the effort to turn from his old ways and turn to God has become a problem. And why is it? Why is it like that? Why will he sit down and die? It is like you being in the house and there's fire coming. You are warned of the fire coming and you are still staying there. Why is it like that? It's a question that cannot be answered. Why would an unconverted man sit down and wait until the final day? All he's waiting for is to die and be buried, waiting to die. I've met so many people who say, "What for me? I'm waiting for death." And when you ask them, are you ready? Are you really sure that you are ready to die? They can't answer. And it is a very, very, very sad thing. Even though I'm saying that it's a question that cannot be answered, it can be answered. That's why a man would do that. Why would a man spend his whole wealth chasing things in this world, trying to be rich and famous in this world, but not rich toward God? Why is it like that? After all what God has done, the love and the mercy he has for us, why that in the midst of all these things, we don't want to turn to him? And the answer to it is the enemy of our soul. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. We will get the answer there. Let's start from verse 3. He said, but if our gospel be hate, it is hate to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world have blinded the minds of men which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. See? An enemy has done that. Sometimes people say, oh, as for me, nobody, it is me that I've decided that I'm not going to. No, it is not you. It is the enemy, a powerful force that has turned your mind from the reality. That is why we see all those things, as I mentioned in the beginning, from what we see in our churches today. I think I've told you this before, that the first time I went to England and the churches that I was going to, most of them, the entrance was through a cemetery. You pass through a cemetery before you enter the church. So I asked them, why is that arrangement? And they said to me, it's for you to think about your future. Because as you are passing, you see people that you know and have been buried. So when you get to the church, you think that there's life after death. You will die, and after that, this should be in your mind as you go to church. This is not to go to church and dance and say you are going to distress yourself. No, you go and think about your situation with God and how to write it. And that's how it is. It is Satan who has done it, who doesn't want us to know. He's so subtle that, like, you come to a place of two roads. In the Old Testament, they had cities of refuge. When you do something bad, like say you kill somebody and they are chasing you, and once you are able to run to that city of refuge, the moment you get there, nobody can touch you. They will take you in, look at your case, and see how to address it. And that is how it is. It is like you being at a road cross where you want to go to the city of refuge, and somebody standing there telling you that this is the way. And that way is leading to hell. That's what Satan has done. Instead of pointing people to the city of refuge, he has taken that out of their mind. And then if you come to church and enjoy and dance and dance and then say you are the head, you are the tail, you are this and this, and that's all. So you don't see the reality of life as you go to church, as you must know. So it is Satan who has done this. It is the God of this world. God, he is the one controlling things now. If you are not careful, he will direct you to where he is. So he changes, like I said, the signpost, city of refuge, city of destruction, and he let you pass the city of the destruction. That is what he has done to us. So the other way he tries to do, especially to the young people, he tells them, oh, you are too young to commit your whole life entirely to God. You are too young. You'll be wasting your time. There's so much time for you. Just enjoy yourself. When you are old, or maybe when you are on your deathbed, then you just say, I believe in Jesus Christ, and that's all. Satan puts this in the minds of people. Just go on and enjoy life. There are so many things to enjoy, the pleasures of life, parties, and so on. Don't think about God now. What does the Bible say? It says, remember your Creator in your youthful days, before the bad days come. It means that there are some times a day will come when it will be too late. So if the devil is deceiving you, that because you are young, there are so many things for you to do, don't commit your entire life to God so that you are restricted, he's lying to you. He's rather driving you into hell because you don't know when you will die. Young people die, adults die, the aged, everybody can die at any time. So what the devil tells you, it is not true. It is his deception. So you have to wise up and hear what, because he says you are not ready. You will just wait until some other time, maybe tomorrow. But now when you hear the word today, you say, okay, maybe tomorrow I'll consider it. Or the next day. Or maybe the next Sunday. All that the Bible says. He said today, if you hear the word. He said today, if you hear the word, don't miss your time. Take it serious. And then repent and turn to God. Don't wait for another day. Another day might not be there. So it is Satan who has put in our hearts not to turn unto God. He is the one who is deceiving the young people and the old and the elderly that they should seek for this world. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he will add the basic things of life to you. Psalm 37, he said he had never seen a righteous person going about begging food. If your life is in Christ, there's no way that he won't give you the basic things of life. But seek him first, because he knows why he's telling you that. If you seek for those things first, those things will drive you away from him. Money, fame, no. They will never let you know God well. But you seek for him first, and then you'll be grounded like when even he gives you the money, you have so much wisdom to be able to use the money. Rather than getting the money first and thinking that with the money you cannot turn to God, it will be too late. You can never, 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 never turn to God in that way. So, friends, there are better joys in God than the joys in this world. There's nothing like joy even in this world. When they call it joy, what is it? Pleasure, going to sit at the beach and eating food. Is that pleasure? Oh, there's no pleasure in this world. Knowing that you know where you are going, that if I die today, I'm going to, that is pleasure. That is joy in your heart. Knowing that you have a relationship with God. Whilst you are living, when you need something, you can ask Him. He will give you. And He has also promise of life eternal in glory with Him. I don't think there's anything that should make you joy more than this. There's nothing in this world. If you have contact with the rich people in this country, they will tell you what they are going through. But you sit outside and you think it is enjoyable. Before we come to an end, let me also give you another quote as we prepare to come to the end of our lesson for today. It says, "For a man to accept the Lord as his Savior and to walk that pilgrim road to glory, to be honest, and to be fair, and to be good, and to be committed to God, is the finest thing that a man can do. And that's what God says. That is life. That is living. That is the true riches. That is everything that the Lord has prepared for us in our lives." That is a true saying. There's nothing in this world than to give your life to Jesus Christ as a pilgrim in this world, and to be honest, and to be fair, and to be good, and to be good. Nobody can do this who is not saved. When you are not saved, you can never be fair. You can never be honest. You always be lying. You'll be cutting corners in your workplaces, everywhere. Unless you are committed to God and there's a fear of God in you, then you can live this life and you will see God's blessing both here and then glory in the next world. So friends, my question is that, have you done that? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and walking as a pilgrim in this world? Are you honest? Are you fair? You want to be good and committed to God? If you haven't done it, this is the day that the Lord has given us. Commit your life to Him today as you live here. If you haven't done it, do it. Commit your life to Him and let Him take control of your life. And He has promised, and because of who He is, He is faithful. You can never, never, never fail. He said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." He will be with you, and then His promise of glory will also be fulfilled. So may the one who loves us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, making us kings and priests before His God and Father, may He lead you to a life of repentance. My prayer is that the God who has done this for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior, the Holy Spirit, should lead us to repentance and to trust in our Lord and Savior. And He will receive us, He will pardon and forgive us, He will cleanse us and prepare us for a life of glory.